Father, we lift our hands and surrender to You. For we are nothing without You. We have tried in ourselves and failed. Have mercy upon us and let Your grace abound. Fill us with Your Spirit that we may be one with You. Open our eyes to see You, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive. Wash us with the blood, purge us with Your presence. And I send forth Your word according to Your word, Lord, that You sent forth and it won't return void. I send Your word to each and every spirit, soul, and body right here, that by the stripes of Jesus, you be made whole, that you be established, perfected, sanctified, and glorified for the King's use. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Is it nice out or what? You know, so many things are happening so quickly right now. As the Lord began to shorten time, that means if time's being shortened, that means things are moving faster. And because things are moving faster, it's going to be an area where we're going to have to make decisions quickly. And of course, when you don't know what to do, you don't do anything. But in this is where God is releasing some powerful things into our life. And if we're not listening, we're missing them. And if we're missing them, then we're making wrong decisions, or we might be waiting on something when God is already telling us to do something. And right now it is so important in walking in the Spirit. It's so important in being in fellowship. It's so important about denying yourself. It's so important to maintain a prayer life. And I'm not saying, you know, it doesn't mean you get up in the morning and write a request gift to Santa Claus, you know. It's called prayer. It's called intercession. It's important that we warfare. Warfare is essential. As a believer, you're a soldier in the army of God. You're a citizen of the eternal kingdom, and so by being so, you must warfare. It doesn't mean that you get up in the morning, you feed your flesh, you say, thank you, Lord, for another day, and you go change diapers the rest of the day. No, you get up way before that. Amen. Hello, you must warfare. God has given everybody the purpose to warfare. Well, I'm late for work, then get up earlier. Then go to bed earlier. Don't make no excuses. That's called reasoning and justification. Hello. You must warfare every single morning until we leave this planet. Hello. Is everybody okay? Good. Turn to John, or 3 John. 3 John. Say, I'm a warrior of Christ. I'm a servant to the anointing. I'm an ambassador to the kingdom. And I'm dead to self. Glory. In 3 John, verse 1, would you read it with me? The elder. To the beloved Gaius, whom I love in what? Whom I love in what? Love in truth. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you. Say, truth in me. Just as you walk in the truth, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. So he says, I'm glad that I heard that you know the truth, that the truth is in you. But I have a greater truth, that you walk in it. That you what? Walk in it. That is called absolute truth. There is absolute truth. And the absolute truth, walking in truth, is absolute truth. So everybody got it? Now, absolute truth, there's three areas of absolute truth. There is historical truths. There is temporary truths. And there are eternal truths. I'll repeat that. Historical truths, temporary truths, and eternal truths. There are three categories of truth. Three categories. You ready? Are you ready? There's a truth of life. There's a truth of love. And there's a truth of order. These are the three categories of absolute truth. What is it? The truth of life, the truth of love, and the truth of order. In other words, divine order. These are absolute truths. These three categories is everything associated with absolute truth. The truth of love, the truth of life, the truth of order. Would you go to Psalm 51? Truth of life, truth of love, and truth of order. Psalm 51, the absolute truth. You know, we know that the word says, and he who knows the truth will set them free. But you know, there's a deeper revelation to that. Because there's a lot of people that know the truth and don't practice it. There's truth of the wisdom of this world that is temporary. There are truths that are historical, that have been written down of the past. But there's something about absolute truth. Absolute truth is omnipresent. Always is, always will be. This truth is life. This truth is love. And this truth is order. In Psalm 51, in verse 5 and 6. Are you ready? Can you read it with me? Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Now, this is very powerful, because this is twofold. King David is the one who's writing this psalm. And we know that one of the things that King David was writing about was the woman that conceived Bathsheba in sin. Are you listening? Why? He fornicated with her, didn't he? Amen? And that child died. But it also represents the area where you and I are born in sin. We are born in deception. David's fornication with Bathsheba. And our birth is in deception. It's in sin. Now, where the Bible says, behold, you desire, it's saying that the Lord's desire, wherever the word says desire, it means required. In other words, when God says you desire, it means he requires. So many times we look at that as just, well, this is just something God desires. No, what he says he desires, it means it is a requirement. It's a requirement, not just a desire. If your father says, this is something I desire for you, well, to God, it's a requirement. So it says, behold, you desire truth where? In the inward parts. This is absolute truth. And in the hidden part, you will make me to what? Know wisdom. In other words, this truth is going to tell him what to do through wisdom. God requires truth in his all at all times. All times. Not sometime. Not as you feel it, not when you think it's best, all times. Psalm 19. So where it says desire, what does it mean? Require. Psalm 19. Did you ever say to yourself, who's kidding? Are you kidding me? That means the absolute truth isn't being manifested. Are you listening? In other words, wait a minute. Do you have a reason? Hello? Justify? Make excuses? You know why? Because absolute truth is fighting for its position. Psalm 19. Is everybody there? Would you read it with me from verse 7? These are called six revelations of required truth. Six revelations of required truth. And what does this six means, man, doesn't it? So you and I are to, these are required for me and you to sustain in this realm, but I'll be in taken out. Who's the ruler of this earth? Satan. Hello? So your fight's not with your neighbor, is it? With your spouse, with your boss, with yourself. But who's impressing self? What about thoughts? Hello? Who told you that, right? In verse 7, would you read it with me? Six revelations of required truth. The what? Law. What's the law represent? The word. The law of the Lord is what? Perfect, converting the soul. How about the testimony? That's the second one. Of the Lord is what? Sure, making wise the what? Simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. That's the third one. So we got the law, the testimony, the statutes. The fourth one is the commands. The commandment of the Lord is what? Pure, enlightening the eyes. Wow. What's the fifth one? The fear of the Lord is what? Clean, enduring forever. And the sixth one? The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired. Uh-oh. What's that word, desired? Required. More to be required are they than what? Gold. Yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant, are you a servant? Then you are warned. And in keeping them there is what? Great reward. Six revelations of required truth. The law of the word, testimony, statutes, commands, fear of the Lord, and judgments. To be desired or be required. Servants are warned in keeping them, for there is what? Great reward. That's absolute. Absolute. Everyone say absolute. And these are six revelations of required truth, that you may walk in absolute truth. There isn't any higher level than absolute truth. Absolute truth is life in itself. Again, there is a difference between, there are truths, but there's a difference between temporary truth, isn't it? Because it's temporary. There's a difference between historical truth. It's a truth that's past. But there is a truth that is in divine order. And that truth is eternal. That truth is omnipresent. That truth is forever, and it is called absolute. And as servants of the Most High God and children's birth by the Spirit, it is required that we walk in absolute truth. Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32. It doesn't mean we won't make a mistake, does it? But it means when we do, we get back into absolute truth. In other words, you don't justify your exaggeration. You don't justify your reasoning. You don't justify your lie. And there is no difference between a white lie and what do you call those other ones? No. Mortal, what is it? Mortal and venial? Oh, hallelujah. All sin leads to death. Well, it's just a little white lie. Hello. That is an absolute truth. It's either absolute truth or a lie, right? Hallelujah. And we are required to walk in these. Everyone say required to walk in absolute truth. And Deuteronomy 32 in verse 1. See, when you don't walk in absolute truth, you give way to the devil. And he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Because the only thing that can prevent him from coming is absolute truth. Not temporary truth. Not historical truth. But absolute truth. So everybody got it? That's that eternal truth. Why? Because the Bible says that the gates of hell cannot prevail against the anointing. Well, the anointing is absolute truth. And verse 1, give ear, O heavens, and I will speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. The what? The words of my mouth. Man cannot live by bread alone, but every word, every absolute truth that comes out of the mouth of God. Let my teaching drop as the rain. Whoa, I love it. He says, let my teaching, let my absolute truth drop in you like rain. My speech distill as the dew, as raindrops on the tender herb, as the showers are on the grass. For I proclaim the name of the Lord. Ascribe greatness to our God. He is the rock. His word is, his work is perfect. For all his ways are justice. A God of truth and without injustice. Righteous and upright is he. They corrupted themselves. They are not his children. Why? Because of their blemish. A perverse and crooked generation. Do you thus deal with the Lord, O foolish and unwise people? Is he not your father who bought you? Has he not made you and established you? Remember the days of old. Those are historical truths. Consider the years of my generations. Ask your father, and he will show you. Your elders, and they will tell you. When the Most High divided their inheritance to the nations, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the boundaries of the people. That's divine order. According to the number of the children of Israel, for the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the place of his inheritance. He is the God of truth, justice. Justice. And he sets boundaries in order, no matter what, for me and you. Does everybody got it? No matter what's going on in your life, there is a certain boundary. There is a divine order of everything in your life, in your health, in your finances, in your relationships. Everything is associated with a divine order, which is, brings absolute truth. Is everybody okay? Psalm 15. Psalm 15. And verse 1. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle and who may dwell in your holy hill? Now, he's in this, what he's talking about is relationship with him. In other words, who can hang out with God? There's a requirement. One of the things that hanging out with God is absolute truth. Amen. He says what? Now, look at verse 2. He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. Wow. You know, we talked about deeper life, deeper spirit, and a deeper relationship is required now. And a deeper relationship requires deeper truth, absolute truth. He said, who's willing to walk with me? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the absolute truth in his heart. He was not a man pleaser, but a God pleaser. Hallelujah. In verse 3 it says, and he who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is what? In other words, he hates evil. He hates people that are deceptive. He doesn't like that. Doesn't mean he hates the person. He hates the spirits that are using them. He won't associate with them. He's careful in this relationship. Why? Because his relationship with the absolute truth, who is the creator, is more important than anything. In whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. Isn't that one of the six revelation requirements of truth? Who swears to his own hurt and does not change. In other words, no matter what's happening, that individual will not change from absolute truth to temporary truth. He won't change. He'll maintain absolute truth no matter what, even when it tries to get stretched or bent. It says, he who does not put out his money at usury. In other words, he who does not manipulate individuals by provision. nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. In other words, he does not exchange truth for a lie. And he who does these things shall never be what? He won't be moved from absolute truth. So these are requirements in the area, the six revelations of required truth that we talked about, his word and his testimony and statutes. And here God is saying, please, come, fellowship with me. These are my requirements for you to fellowship with me, that you know these absolute truths, because he is an absolute God. In John 16, in verse 7, Jesus said to them, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. That's amazing that the absolute true God had to tell people that he was telling them the truth. Why? Because they still didn't believe him, even though the absolute living life truth was in front of them. The eternal truth was standing in front of them. They still didn't believe him. They still wanted to do their own thing. They chose the way of hell and the way of man instead of the way of God. In verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your what? Advantage. Oh, do you think absolute truth would be to your advantage? Yes. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I did not go away, the helper would not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to the Father and you see me no more. And of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. So if you're under the ruler of this world, will you be judged also? Yes. The only way you come out from judgment is to come out from the ruler of this world. In verse 12. What does he say? I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Why? Because they couldn't understand them. They couldn't get it yet. However, verse 13, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, yes, the absolute truth, he will what? Guide you into all truth. And what else will he do? He will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. How many times do we ignore the things that he's telling us to come? Especially when he says, get out of there. What are you doing? It says, he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. You know why people are not getting the things that God has promised? Because he only promises them through his Spirit. Oh, Lord, why don't I have this? You have it. You know where it is? It's in my Spirit. You still want to touch unclean things? You still want to do the things that you want to do? You'll never get them. My absolute truth and my promises are in my Spirit that are waiting to declare it to you. But you choose to be religious. You choose to fellowship with what you shouldn't. You choose to defile my temple. And my Spirit doesn't fellowship with that. Where is his promises? In his Spirit. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and what? Declare it to you, because he is the Spirit of absolute truth. Hallelujah. Go to 1 John chapter 4. Now, anybody can study the Word and teach on it. Hello. But there's a difference in studying the Word and teaching on it and having it being delivered by the Spirit. It's different. One will promote bondage and one will promote freedom. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. Are y'all there? Let's read it together. For you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Now, he who is in you, the Spirit of what? truth, absolute truth. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. So if they are of the world, who are they under rule of? Satan. Will they go into judgment? Yes. Verse 6. We are of God. He who knows God hears us, and he who is not of God does not hear us. Now, hearing means doing. Amen. There's a lot of people that hear, but there isn't enough people that listen. In other words, when you hear the truth, you're to practice it and put it in your life. Just because you hear the truth doesn't rescue you from hell. Hearing the truth doesn't set you free. Doing it does. That's just another deception of the enemy. Has everybody got it? Let's go a little further. Verse 6. We are of God, and he who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of what? Truth, and the spirit of what? Error. The spirit of truth and the what? Spirit of error. So what's the spirit of error from? Yeah. He's from hell. And the spirit of truth is the eternal, absolute presence and love of God. Absolutely. He is the spirit of truth. Let's go a little further. Verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is what? Of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God. For God is love. And in this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins. Propitiation. That's it. For our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Now, I got to tell you something, okay? For me to preach the love of God without the judgment of God is heresy. So everybody got it? If I am to preach to you the love of God and not tell you the judgment of God, that is heresy. Because God's judgment is love. See, so many times people just want to preach about love. Oh, God loves you. Yes, he does. But you know what? He had to go through hell to get to heaven for me. He took my judgment. But he said, if I'm not going to follow him, I'm going to have to take judgment. Is everybody okay? So for me to preach to anyone the love of God without preaching the judgment of God is heresy. And you're to do the same. You can't just go around and tell people, oh, it's going to be okay, because it's not going to be okay serving the devil. This ain't soulish ministry. This is absolute truth. Hallelujah. 2 Thessalonians 2. 2 Thessalonians 2. In verse 9. Verse 9, read it. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be what? Saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, and that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Whoa. Again, to preach the love of God and not the judgment of God is heresy. It is not complete. Absolute truth must preach both. And here they said they've lost love. They lost the love. They did not love the truth. They loved themselves more than the truth. And they were accounted for judgment. Let's go to Romans 1. Romans chapter 1. In verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from what? Heaven. Against what? All. Against all. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and in their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Wow. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanliness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. They became servants to creation. They became servants to provision. They became servants to the pleasures of the flesh instead of the absolute truth in God. And they were accounted for wrath. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Again, the Lord is calling us not only into a deeper life, but a deeper walk. Because things are not getting easier out there, they're getting harder. 2 Timothy chapter 2. In verse 24. 2 Timothy 2:24. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Wow, that they're doing his will. That they may know the truth that sets them free by bringing freedom to serving truth. See, you're not free until you're serving truth. Amen. You know, we are empowered to walk out. The Holy Spirit has given us the power to walk this out. And even in our relationship with the Lord and our relationship with man, there must be a relationship not only with the Lord but with man, with honesty, transparency, and truth. You know, that's where the word says, come out from among them and be separate. Your relationships are based on absolute truths. Your relationship is based on absolute truth with the life giver, expressing his love, and in a divine order, which is with accountability. Many have home groups that have been established without divine order. Hey, there's nothing greater than a home group as long as it's covered. It's been set forth. Has everybody got it? Let me share something with you important, because I was reading about something and so many things that are happening in a division in the body of Christ. And it's got to be with divine order, because divine order is absolute truth, isn't it? There are many home groups, not all of them, but many are bless me clubs. They are bless me clubs. They are frustrated, immature preachers not willing to go the full course of Christ's training. So they start up their own home groups with no covering. It's a bless me club, and it's immature. So everybody got it. And we must be careful of these things because there's not absolute truths there. There's temporary truths. And what it does is it brings the individuals into areas of false promises because they're always proclaiming the promises of God, yet they're not in divine order because the promise of God is brought forth by the Spirit of absolute truth. It will never progress. That's all it will do is produce pagan offspring. Is everybody okay? Thank you, Holy Ghost. Go to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 18. So you can become a belong to a bless me club or an absolute one. Absolute truth. Verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments. Isn't that one of the six revelation requirements? And do those things that are what? Pleasing in the sight. So do you believe that if you're walking in absolute truth, you're pleasing to him? Now, there's the absolute truth, which is associated with life, love, and order. Everyone say life, love, and order equals absolute truth. In verse 23, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us, who is the Spirit of absolute truth. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. And then one more scripture just for you. God willing. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But there were also what? False prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers. False teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies. Now, wait a minute. What's a heresy? Someone who preaches love without judgment. Even denying the Lord who bought them and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. So in other words, it's all going to come to the surface, no matter what. So we see there that there are false prophets and false teachers. It's amazing how many people are proclaiming themselves to be prophets. I mean, it just blows my mind. I mean, I go to places and so forth, and I meet people and whatever, and all of a sudden this one guy pops up and says, yes, I'm prophet such and such. Man, I want to slap him right in the head. A prophet never exalts himself. He never has to tell somebody he's a prophet. He should be one of the most humble beings on this planet. I am a prophet. I am a teacher. No, you're an idiot. You're spiritually blinded. I get many people that want to come and say, hey, can I teach at your place? It's not my place. It's his. And before you come and speak a word to what I'm accountable for, I better see your fruits. Don't tell me what school you've been to. That ain't fruit. Hello. We're going to close at Revelation chapter 2. Well, I've been a believer for 30 years. Bummer, you still ain't got it. Yes, but I had a visitation from the Lord. You need another one. Yes, but God healed me. Praise God. You need another one. Deliverance. Amen. You know, it is so important for this deeper walk now and this deeper life that God has for us. And we've got to have these deeper truths. You know, we got to stop kidding ourselves. And we got to stop putting things under the rug but expose them. We got to get real. See, real is the absolute truth. The reality is the absolute truth. We should have a reality of the absolute truth that no matter what we're doing in our life, we want to know whether we're pleasing God or not. And everything. There's got to be a divine order in everything. In your health, your finances, your walk, your job, everything, there must be a divine order. What's not absolute truth? And you're kidding yourself, and you're opening the door to the devil, who's going to come to steal, kill, and destroy. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. To the angel of the truth of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. He says, I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. You have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them to be liars. And you have persevered, have patience, and have labored for my name's sake, and have not become weary. Sounds like a good church to me. Nevertheless, here's the absolute truth. I have this against you, that you left your first love. Now, I want you to understand that your first love is absolute truth. Jesus was absolute truth. His presence is absolute truth. He said, you've left your first love. You've left that absolute truth. You've gone to compromise, reason, and justification. You've left that absolute truth. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and try again. Repent and do the first works. Repent and do the what? Or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. See, what happens is we become unevenly yoked. What we call truth, but it isn't absolute truth. People get unevenly yoked with people. People get unevenly yoked in business. People get unevenly yoked in certain things. Because it's not absolute truth. And we're to sever ourselves from every yoke of those areas so that we may walk in absolute truth and expose everything else that rises up against absolute truth. See, absolute truth will set you free. Absolute truth is joy, is love. Absolute truth is divine order. It's divine order. And God is requiring us to walk in absolute truth. So let's get our houses in order. Let's start with the individual first and then work our way out. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word today. We are honored and blessed. And we just take this opportunity and we repent. We repent for forsaking our first love, which is absolute truth. We repent and we ask for your forgiveness. The greatest thing that we can have is truth. There is nothing higher than truth. Because he is all truth. Eternal truth. Lord, we want to know you more. And again, have mercy upon us. and let your grace abound, and grant us the strength to fulfill the requirements, that we may abide in you and you in us, to express your love, walk in divine order, and tell the truth. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah.